Listening Dog Media.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie, promoting women's football since 2013.
This is the Offside Rule mailbag. Natasha Dowie and Lindsay Hooper with you, ploughing through some questions which we keep getting week on week. And we start with a famous one this week, Tash, because David Seaman does the podcast Seaman Says. I managed to grab him at the end of this week's episode and he wanted to ask you a question.
Hello, it's David Seaman from Seaman Says. Tash, I've got a question for you. Who's the best player you've played with and against?
Ooh,
is it David Seaman's talking to me? How cool's this? That's a really good question. I think the playing against was very easy. Straight away, it just came to me. Wendy Renard, when I played for England against France.
Oh, wow, Wendy Renard. Yeah. I mean,
like, yes. Impossible, Lindsay. Like, tall, so straight away, aerially, I'm not winning that. Quicker than me, so there's no point in running in behind. I'm not getting there. Normally, then, you know me, I love a physical battle. I like to bully my centre-halves, but she's pretty strong. So I was struggling. I was struggling to find ways to get faster. So, yeah, Wendy Renard was
a tough
cookie.
Could you hold the ball up with her around you?
I could hold the ball up, but her big legs were, like, coming around me. She was, like, just this spider getting everywhere. So, yeah,
so in matches like that, do you have to accept that you might be the striker that you're played off and you play someone else in, and then it's your movement that is more crucial to take Wendy Renard out the game?
Yeah, 100%. I knew that I had to move the ball quickly. I couldn't get into a battle with her. So really, actually, it was more about dropping into pockets rather than actually pinning her, which is what my game was all about, getting tight to defenders, rolling them, pinning them. With her, I knew that I couldn't do that. So I tried to actually move away from her and avoid her as much as I possibly could and work off the other centre half. But yeah, that was a challenge.
So that one was easy.
Yes.
But how about the other part of the question?
That was so hard to play with. You know, I've played for 14 different clubs, Lindsay. So to pick one player was pretty tough. And I really wanted to say like 7 or 8 names, but I'm not going to. I'm going to just stick with one and it will definitely be one you know. Even though I played with her later on in her career, she was still phenomenal. Kelly Smith. You know, when I broke in, yeah.
Oh, Tash, I love Kelly so much. Yeah, and the fact that you've chosen Kelly.
She's just, okay. When I broke into the senior team, she just had this aura about her. And I know Kelly now. She's so shy, not actually really confident, to be honest. Quite insecure, actually, as a person. But on the pitch, oh my. She just had this aura and this presence and this, I don't know what it was like. She was just the best because she was the best. And, you know, and everyone wanted just to get Kelly the ball and she would make something happen. And I was coming, obviously, early on in my England career and she was probably in her 30s at the time. So probably past her peak, but was still the best player on the pitch. Left foot, right foot, could see things no one else saw. So I was really lucky that I got a couple of years of playing with her at England.
I honestly, like you, I regard her as a friend and she's just someone who I can't do justice to. You know, when you're talking to the new generations coming through and everyone knows about her because she's on a lot of the coverage. And I think that iconic shot of her kissing the boot will always follow her everywhere. And of course, YouTube nowadays as well, I guess people can check it out. But there are players coming through that won't have seen her play live and they won't. Because there wasn't the coverage that there is now, they won't have had access to as much of the footage. And they're really missing. I think with her, she is that one person that I think if she'd have been born 20 years later.
Wow. She would be breaking the transfer record for sure. You know, she was the player that always looked like she had so much time on the ball and they're the best players.
Effortless.
Yeah. You know, like I said, just saw things, you know, lobbing keepers, you know, could execute things right foot and left foot, saw a pass that no one else could see. I really struggled to find someone really that is of her ability. I mean, you could slightly compare a Farrah Williams with regards to that kind of ability, but I think Kelly was a bit more of an attacking midfield player. Farrah was a bit deeper with her passing range, but that kind of real magicness that kind of she could create, Farrah could do that. But yeah, she was a one-off. You know, I think the best player to ever have worn an England shirt. I don't think anyone will get near to her with regards to that.
No, and I really hope that her legacy lasts so, so long. Placement of shots. I just think her knowledge of where the goal was when she wasn't even looking. Some of the times that I watched, I thought, how on earth did she know that that was the corner of the net from there? But she did. And yeah, I'm really pleased that you chose Kelly Smith. So thank you for that. That's question number one completed. Big tick for you next to that one. One of our regulars has got in touch.
Hello, Offside Rule. Nick here from Cambridge. And I was just wondering, with the FA Cup semi-finals having been drawn, when will we see them being played at neutral venues rather than at one club's home ground? I think it'll be a real step forward for the game to have these big marquee games at a neutral venue. Doesn't need to be Wembley necessarily, but an independent separate stadium. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I really do. And I think more so when you see the attendances that the likes of Arsenal are getting. So 3 or 4 years ago, you weren't getting those kind of numbers. So I think the kind of home advantage didn't really matter as much or didn't have as much of an impact. Whereas now, the home crowd definitely has an advantage. You know, if Arsenal get tied at home at the Emirates, that's 60,000 people. You know, so that's a huge advantage compared to maybe a Bristol City getting tied at home. Or,
that's such a good point as well now, the fact 100%. That they're getting those sorts of figures.
Yeah. Mm. So I would love to see
the neutral
venue.
Yeah, but maybe it's got
venue.
To change.
I would love to. Yeah. I think it has to happen. You know, I think it's a massive advantage for your likes of your Chelsea's and your Arsenal's that are getting those kind of crowds.
And semi-final stage as well, it gives a real opportunity to take some of the football up north, which is something that they're looking at in the men's game as well. But I was just thinking, I mean, I'm a little bit biased, but Molineux is hosting the Conti Cup final, and it gives other stadiums the chance to host women's football and get a new audience and a new eye, or an audience that's an existing audience but just doesn't get much chance
Absolutely.
To go. So
and nice for
it would
players.
Be, it would be
players,
brilliant.
You want to play in different venues as well. You know, sometimes, I'm not saying you get bored of playing at the Emirates, you never do, but it's nice to kind of go and travel and have different crowds, different atmospheres, different stadiums.
Mm. Well, those semi-finals, I mean, maybe there's a way or a bidding system or a credit system where different stadiums could then get selected each season. It could be different, share around the spoils a little bit so that everyone gets a taste. But I really like that idea. So Nick from Cambridge, thank you. That's why we've included you again, because we wanted to make sure that we got that covered. Finally,
hi, ladies. Love the podcast. This is Jackie. I was just wondering who your best WSL signing of the season had been, or maybe you can hit us with the top three.
Oh.
So let me ask a question here. Is it, because me and Becky were having a disagreement on this because I was asking Becky as well. Is it who's impacted this season, or is it who we just think is the best signing potentially future-wise as well?
Future. Okay. Well, I think if we can infer this question as we want.
Yeah, okay.
So how would you like to infer the question?
Because if I'm seeing it as like a Ramirez or a Macario,
that's impact.
That's impact. But also for the future, I think they're going to be huge. Whereas I look at someone like a Hobinger at Liverpool, midfield player, the Austrian, created so many chances then this season. I think she's had a big impact. Look, number one for me has got to be Clinton. 100%. Grace Clinton for Spurs. She has been the best signing this season, I think, with regards to the impact that she's had on Spurs. She's got to be my number one. I think Testrup, you know, and this is where it's hard now because she scored 9 goals in 15, but Bristol City are probably going to get relegated. So has she impacted them enough to save them? But you can't not give her a shout out for getting those types of goals. Okay, so I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to have to go with, and it's so hard though, Linz, because then Jess Park, I think her going back
to
City.
You've not said my one yet either, my
ooh,
standout one.
Ooh, go on, who's yours?
Emily Fox, Arsenal.
Oh, okay, yes. That's
I mean,
a good
regular.
Shout.
I mean, to get in the first team, and I would say she's now probably first choice in that position when she's available.
Yeah. Okay,
I think that's very hard
Fox,
to do in a team
Clinton,
like that.
Fox, Clinton, and who's going to be our third? Do you think
it's got to be a Macario or a Ramirez, hasn't it?
I think
But Herbinger is actually a really good shout. I hadn't thought about it, but actually we pay so much attention to the top sides,
yeah,
that those players that make a huge impact at clubs like Everton and Brighton, they deserve a mention. I mean, Jackie said, didn't she, top three?
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. And I was having a bit of a disagreement with Becky about it because she didn't think Herbinger should be one. But I thought Liverpool, where they are right now, look, they're overachieving, I believe, with regards to where they're sitting in the table. You know, they're really up there, potentially going to overtake United. And I think the amount of chances she's created, yes, they haven't scored loads of goals, but I think for her first season in this league, you know, I think she had a really strong start, potentially maybe has struggled of late, but I still think, you know, she scored some really important goals for them this season. You know, left foot, right foot, set pieces.
Leicester as well.
Yes.
Leicester.
I was thinking Rantala. I know. There's so many. Okay, we're going to go. Let's go. We're going to go Fox, Clinton, and Herbinger.
Let's say Fox and Clinton are our definites.
Definites.
I think I might argue with you on the third one, okay, a bit like Becky. I think he deserved a mention.
Okay.
But I think Herbinger's...
We just have to go top two then. We can't throw a third in.
We can't.
No.
Maybe Macario. No, I don't know. We've got to have one of the Chelsea girls, haven't we?
I know, because even Nusken's had a good season for Chelsea. You know, there is a few players.
This is why we do this debating, because then we can get the audience involved. They can tell us. We'll say definite Emily Fox and Grace Clinton.
And then they can throw a third in.
Who's
for
the
us.
Discussion? Who's the third? Is it Ramirez? Is it Macario? Is it Rantala? Who would you put in there? Let us know at Offside Rule Pod on both X and on TikTok. And I'm missing out Instagram. We're on there as well. Those are all the questions for this week. It would be really helpful if you could leave us a review. 5 stars and a comment does help other people find us. We've had one this week. And thank you very much to Nolly. And also has been very active on our social channels as well. I'm not gonna blow smoke up our own bums, but it's basically saying we're a must-listen podcast every week and very much enjoying the expert analysis, humour and different perspectives from around the game. This is where Nolly's saying the range of features is fabulous, and especially Tash's scouting report, which you get in the main show.
Very nice.
There you go. But we won't read it all out. But if you wouldn't mind leaving us a comment and a 5-star rating, it would really help spread the word about the show and help us to continue going forwards. Natasha, get to bed. I can see the bed behind you in your hotel room. It's just too tempting.
It is ready to be jumped on.
she's still got jet lag. Anyway, thank you very much for this week. We'll return next week.
The Offside Rule Mailbag. Send us your questions on social media. We're at Offside Rule Pod. Sports Social Podcast Network.